So let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. Just 1 second, I'm sorry. So this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah about the Kosel, the wall that separates two Chatzeros. And under what conditions can the two Chatzeros set up a common Eruv? Under what circumstances do they have to set up each one a separate Eruv? The Mishnah is also going to talk about carrying something on the top of the Kosel. Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzeros Gavoa Asor V'Rochav Arba. The Kosel itself is 10 Tfachim high, and it has the width, that means on top of the Kosel, it's wide by 4 Tfachim. So if you have 10 Tfachim in height and 4 Tfachim in width, it is a Rishus HaYachid. Is Ma'arvin Shnayim V'Ein Ma'arvin Echad. There are two Chatzeros on two sides of this Kosel, they each have to set up their own Eruv. They cannot join in one Eruv. And the reason for that is because they are separated by a Kosel. The Kosel is a Mechitza. It's a bona fide Mechitza that separates the two Chatzeros, one from the other. Hayu Barosho Peros, if there are fruits on top of the Kosel. Elu Ola Mikan V'Ochlin, V'Elu Ola Mikan V'Ochlin. Each one of the Bnei Chatzer on the two sides of the Kosel has rights to carry something on the top of the Kosel, because the Kosel is Rishus HaYochid, so you have something that's Nach, it's Konesh Visa on Erev Shabbos on top of a Kosel, meaning in a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry it within that Rishus HaYochid. And the Chiddush is that even though the both Chatzeros have access to this Rishus HaYochid, so you might consider it as if it's Shtei Rishuyos, as if it's one Rishus here, one Rishus there, and therefore you need an Eruv of some sort. No, it's a Rishus HaYochid unto itself, a separate Rishus. U'bilvad shelo yoridu lematon. Now, what those words mean is going to be a sugya later on. And the maskana of the sugya, which is what I'm going to present now, is that lo yoridu lematon means they're not allowed to take the peros from the Kosel into their homes, respective homes. They're allowed to take it into the Chatzer, but not in their respective homes. But that's going to be a sugya later on. Nifratz HaKosel. What happens if you have a pirtza in the Kosel, or you have a chalon, a window in the Kosel? And in this case, we're going to call this pirtza a Pesach. It's going to be like a window that connects the two Chatzeros and gives access from one Chatzer to the other. Why is it considered a Pesach? Because it doesn't go beyond Eser Amos. If it had been beyond Eser Amos, then it becomes a Pirtza, and then they would need a common Eruv because they belong to one Rishus. But here, we still have a Shem Kosel, a Shem Mechitza, because the Pirtza is still a Pesach and not a Pirtza, because it's not more than Eser Amos. Is Marvin Shnaim, Rotsu Marvin Echo. We give them two options. They could even decide Shnaim, meaning to set up an Erev between them. And the reason for that is because it's a serious Pirtza. But in Rotsu Marvin Echo, if each one wants to set up its own Erev, that's fine. Mipneshu Ke Pesach. And the reason why they could set up one joint Erev between the two Chatzeros, which is called Ma'arvim Shnayim, is because it's a Pesach, as long as it's not more than 10 Tfachim in width. Yoser Mikan, if it's 10 Tfachim plus, I'm sorry, 10 Amos plus, then it's a Pirtza. V'ein Ma'arvim Shnayim. In such a case, we consider this not a Pesach, but one large Chatzer. So Shnayim, which means that each Chatzer sets up his own Erev, that is not a possibility here in this case where it's one large Chatzer because there's no Mechitza between them insofar as the Pirtza of plus Eser Amos plus is a bona fide Pirtza, takes off the Shem Mechitza, it's one large Chatzer. Now again, we have to emphasize that the Mishnah, in the case of a Kosel ben Shtei Chatzeros, which requires ma'arvim shnayim, the kosels and mechitzah, that separates the two chatzeres, requiring a separate erev in each chatzer, is talking about a case where the dimensions of the kosel are, number one, 10 tfachim in height, and number two, 4 tfachim, the width on the top of the kosel. Now the Gemara analyzes the case where ein bo arba. Let's say the kosel is a narrow kosel, it's a thin wall, it doesn't have the width, you know, those bricks that would be 4 tfachim. My, what would be the din? And the Gemara wants to know if the same din applies, that you can climb up to the top of this kosel and carry from one side of the kosel to the other. Amar Rav, avir shtei rishiyo sholetes bo. So the Gemara is going to now present the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is of the opinion that since this kosel does not have 4 tefachim in width, the top of the kosel is completely gone, meaning, so to speak, it's batel, it loses its status. It is, so to speak, swallowed up by the two mechitzos, it's no longer reshus unto itself. And therefore, if he would carry on top of this kosel, insofar as it's not a reshus unto itself, then he's really being metaltel from one chatzit to the other, because both chatzeros have an equal possession, so to speak, of the top of the kosel, equal use. And both chatzeros are sholtos on the top of the kosel. Is therefore, says Rav, since we now have a reshus, which is not a reshus lifnei atzmo, since it doesn't have dalid tfachim, it doesn't have the personality, the character of its own reshus, but rather it is batel to the two reshuyos, and therefore, says Rav, yozizbo afilu kimelo nimo, you're not allowed to move anything on top of the kosel, because it has the status of two chatzer shalo irvu. And if there was no Erev between them, because this top of the kosel now belongs to both chatzeros, then you're not allowed to carry at all on top of the kosel. If we had more time, we would connect this sheet of Rav with a sheet of Rav later on. This is one of those sugyas that really requires that we sort of jump ahead of ourselves to Daf Tzadi Aleph, Tzadi Beis, because there we have sugyas about a case where there's an Erev in one chatzer, and Rav Shitas that you're not allowed to carry from one chatzit to the other, even according to Reb Shimon, who allows you to carry those kelim that were shoves on Shabbos from one chatzit to the other. But in this case, if they made an Erev between them, then, which is counterintuitive, but it generates an Issa, because we're afraid he might take kelim that were shoves in his house from one chatzit to the other. Now we start today's daf, which is Ayin Zayin, and that's going to be Reb Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elu Malin Mikan V'Ochlin, V'Elu Malin Mikan V'Ochlin. Both of the Bnei HaChotzer, on both sides of the Kosel in this case, are allowed to take food and place it on the Rosh HaKosel. Not only that, they're allowed to carry from one side of the Kosel to the other side. Now the reason for this is almost obvious. On the contrary, the responsibility here is on the shoulders of Rav to explain to his Chumrah, because Rabbi Yochanan is looking at this top of the Kosel as a Mokom Ptur. And we have a rule of thumb that you're allowed to take something from Rishus HaYochid or even from Rishus HaRabim and put it on top of a Mokom Ptur, insofar as this Kosel on top has a narrow spitz, so to speak. It's less than 4 tefachim in width. It now takes on the status of a Mokom Ptur. The Gemara is going to ask from our Mishnah now on Rabbi Yochanan. Tonight it says in our Mishnah, in the case of a kosel ben shtei chatzeros, if it's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, elu ola mikan v'ochlin, v'elu ola mikan v'ochlin, what they're allowed to do is they're going to allow to climb onto the top of the kosel, each one of the bnei chatz on both sides of the kosel, and carry on top of the kosel, but they're not allowed, right? It says olim. Right, it says olim. In other words, they're allowed to climb up to the top of the kosel, and they're allowed to move the ochlin, that foodstuff that happens to be resting on top of the kosel. Olim in, but milim lo. The Mishnah did not allow you to take something and pick it up in the chatzer and put it on top of the kosel. So, Rav Yochanan gives the obvious answer. Hachikam, this is what the Mishnah means. Yesh ba'al arba olim in mylin lo. If there's a status of Rishus HaYochid to the top of the coastal because it has the width of 4 and 4 tfachim, then you're only allowed to carry on top of the coastal. You're not allowed to take from the chutz and put it on top of the coastal. But if it would be ein bo'ar bo'alar bo', now the status of the top of the coastal is that of a mokum p'tur. It doesn't have the width of a Rishus HaYochid of 4 on 4. Is ma'alim nami. You're allowed to even take from Rishus HaYochid, from a chutzer, and put it on top of the kosel, the Azda Rab Yochanan Litamei. And this is the famous sheet of Rab Yochanan, formulated by Rav Dimi when he came from Etzil to Bavel. And it's brought down at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. And that is the Chiyasa Rav Dimi LeBavel, Meir Tzisro LeBavel. Omar, he declared Rab Yochanan in the name of Rab Yochanan. Mokom Sheinbo, it doesn't have a Rochav of Arbal Arba, which means that it's a Mokom Ptur. Mutu l'bnei Rishus HaYochid, u'l'bnei Rishus HaRabim, both l'katif olav. They're allowed to take a knapsack, which means they carry something, and put it down l'katif. L'katif usually means when they're trying to adjust it on their shoulders in the right way, so they put it down on this makom, which is less than our bar tfachim in width. Again, it has to have the height, the minimum height of 3 tefachim. Otherwise, it's lovud and has the same din as karka. But ubilvach lo yachlifu, we're not going to allow them to pass it from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, by using this amud, or whatever it might be, that's a mokum p'tur in the middle, because we're always afraid that people might get the misimpression you're allowed to take something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. But as far as using the Rishus HaYochid itself, that for sure is mutter, because it has the status not of Rishus HaYochid, but rather of a Mokom Ptur, insofar as it's less than 4 tefachim in width. Now, the Gemara actually establishes that this statement of Rabbi Yochanan is explicit in a Braisa even before Rabbi Yochanan. That's why the Gemara is going to ask its question now, Rav Lesle, the Rav Dimi? Is it possible that Rav rejects this din of Rav Dimi? Okay, you could always say Rav could argue with Rav Yochanan, but he can't argue with a Braisa. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Vav quotes a Braisa that a person's allowed to stand on an iskupa, which is the threshold of the house, and he can take things from the Balabayas who's standing in Rishus HaYochid, or he could give him something in Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because the iskupa has the status of a Mokum Ptur. It's 3 tefachim high, and it doesn't have the width of 4 tefachim. Or, for example, let's say somebody, an ani, is out there in Rishus HaRabim. He can take something from the hands of the Baal Bais who's standing on the Iskupa, or vice versa. As long as you don't take something from a Rishus Gamur, meaning a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, put it through the Makom Ptur, and then pick it up on the other side, like pass it from one person to the other. So how could Rav argue against the Braisa? Why would he say it's usur to carry on top of a Mokum Ptur? And here's the paradoxical answer of Rav. E Bershuyos do Raisa. If you were talking about a kosel that was situated between a Rishus HaRabim and a Rishus HaYochid, and the Isur to be metaltel from one Rishus to the other would be a do Raisa. Hachinami and Hachinami. Now we're going to allow a person who's standing on the Rosh HaKosel, for example, and carry it, or even take it into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, take it into Rishus HaYochid. Even Rav would agree to that. Hacha b'maiskin. But here, paradoxically, you're going to be more machmir in the din d'rabbanon, b'rishuyos d'rabbanon. The Kosel between these two chatzeros is a d'rabbanon issue. Why? Because the Kosel itself is a Makom Ptur, and the two Rishuyos of the Chatzer on a Doraisa level, each one has the status of Rishus HaYochid. So to take from Rishus HaYochid to a Makom Ptur, or on the Makom Ptur to carry it from one side to the other, certainly would be Mutter. However, the catch 22 here is that Chachamim Asu Chizik L'Devrem Yosem Mishel Torah. Even though on a Doraisa level there'd be no problem over here, you're taking it from Rishus HaYochid to a Makom Ptur. But here Rav is going to be Machmir because he's worried about what's called the Avir Shtei Rishuyos Sholeit B'Kosel. In other words, you have two Rishuyos, both of whom have access to the Rosh HaKosel. And the Rabbanan were afraid that in that case, it looks like one Rosh HaSayochid to another Rosh HaSayochid, meaning Reuven is on one side of the Kosel, he has his Rosh HaSayochid, it's his private domain. Shimon on the other side has his private domain of the Kosel. And the Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to carry from one Rosh HaSayochid to another Rosh HaSayochid if each Rosh HaSayochid is owned by someone else. And this Kosel that stands between a Rosh HaSayochid and a Rosh HaSayochid, or for that matter, between a Rosh HaSayochid and a Rosh HaSarabim, normally, again, we wouldn't be machmir. We would allow you to carry from Rosh HaSayochid or from Rosh HaSarabim into and onto the Mokum Ptur. Here, and there's no need to be machmir. Here, we have to be machmir. We have to worry about the possibility. It was suspicious that if we're going to allow him to carry onto this kosel, which is a Mokum Ptur, he's going to come to carry from a Rosh HaSayochid to Rosh HaSarabim or vice versa, because the Chachomim said that we're worried about a chotzer that's considered almost like a Rosh HaSarabim in a sense, even though, again, according to Torah law, it's a Rosh HaSayochid, it's Mukaf Mechitzos, but, you know, if a chotzer is shared by many different homeowners and so forth and so on, it really looks like a Rosh HaSarabim. Bottom line is, the chotzer itself was prohibited min Rabbanon. The Rabbanon could be more machmir to give chizuk l'divrayim than on an Issur Torah level. And therefore, to take from the chotzer onto the top of the kosel, when that top of the kosel, according to Rav, belongs to two different chatzeros, in effect, he's like taking it from one chotzer to the other, and that's also min Rabbanon, even though he's taking it through a makom ptur. Okay, now the Gemara is going to analyze a case where the ground is not flat. What it means is that you can have batim that share a chotzer on a lower level, and batim that share a chotzer right next door, contiguous, on a higher level. So the two chatzeros are one higher than the other. Amar Rabba Baravunam Rab Nachman, Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, in the following scenario of a kosel between two chatzeros, tzido echad gavoa asar tvachim, v'tzido echad shavah la'aretz. So this kosel, which is situated between two chatzeros, one of the chatzeros is down below, the other chatzer is on a higher level, you know, like they did a landfill. And the question is, which of these two chatzeros has access to this kosel? Which of them are allowed to use the kosel? Is nosen osel lezeh shavah sheshavah la'aretz? They give it to the lower one, where the kosel reaches the ground level of the lower chatzer, as opposed to the higher level of the chatzer that's above. And the reason for this is mishum davile tashmish benachas lezeh tashmish benachas lezeh tashmish kosher, because the top of this kosel, which is 10 tefachim above the ground and 4 tefachim wide, is much more comfortable for use to the lower chotzer, because it's really just 10 tefachim. It's almost like a, you know, a level of his height, of his chest, of his arms. Whereas for the top kosel, simply because he is elevated, then it's not noach, it's not comfortable for him to use that kosel. And we have a klal. That's what Rabba formulates. What is that principle? Kol mokom shelazeh benachas v'lazeh v'kosher nosim osol lazeh shetashmisho benachas. And this is going to be sugyas later on at the beginning of another perek. In any event, basically, when you have a kosel that is 4 tefachim wide, and both chatzeros have access to the top of the kosel, then we're going to be meshayach the kosel to that chatzer that has noach tashmishto, that has easier use and more frequent use of that area. And the Gemara is going to have many, many different cases. You're going to have a case of a merpeses, which is on a higher level with an amud next to it, and a tail. many, many different situations in which two chatzeros really have access to one place, but it's more accessible to one than the other. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Shizbi is going to apply the same kind of rule, but not in terms of a kosel that's above ground and is obviously higher for the upper chatzah, but rather a case where they dig below the ground, and that's called a charitz. So a charitz is a kind of a subterranean ditch, shebein shtei chatzeros, and one side of this charitz turns towards one of the chatzeros, which is amok asara, and the other side of the charitz is poneh towards the second chatzer, which is shavala aretz. So you have one chatzer that's on ground level, and you have another chatzer that's below ground level, and you have a charitz between the two. Is nosinoso lazeh sheshavala aretz, once again, the one that has access at his ground level is very comfortable in his use. Mishum dehavile lazet tashmisho benachas lazet tashmisho bekasha. And the Gemara now is going to ask, why do I need these two statements? Both the ruling of Rabbah in the case of Tzido Echad Gavah, etc., and the ruling of Rav Shizbi in the name of Rav Nachman of Tzido Echad Amokasara. Diyashmin, and the Gemara says, Bekosel, if we only had the first statement of Rabbah, we would say that in that case, Mishum de Begova, Mishtamshi Inshi, we would say that people use and they have access to a Kosel, and it's considered Noach Tashmisho, Begova, when the Kosel is on the ground and moving up. But charitz, aval charitz, biumka, lo mishtamshi inshi. You know, who's going to dig down to the bottom of this ditch, to the omek of the charitz? I mean, that's not very comfortable. I mean, even if, again, the charitz is not 10 tefachim deep, but nevertheless, it's not noach to use it. You know, things roll down to the middle and all the way to the ground. So therefore, I would say in this case, we're not going to give a schus, we're not going to give a right of shimush to the one bala chotzer who's on the bottom, who's lower down, because even for him it's tashmisho kasha. So that's why I need the second statement of Rav Nachman, that even in the case of charitz, if we only had the halacha of Rav Nachman, mishum de below b'yisa tashmishte, there's an advantage to the use of the charitz because there's no danger involved. Aval kosel de b'yisa tashmishta, when you climb up to put things on top of the kosel, there's a certain danger involved, and that doesn't make it noach tashmishta. On the contrary, it's not noach tashmishta, tzricha. Therefore, I need Rav Nachman to teach me that even in the case of b'yisusa, that was the first statement of Rabbah in the name of Rav Nachman, even so, it's considered noach tashmisho for the bala chotzer, who is shoveh because he has tashmish of the kosel so far as his chotzer is lower down. Rabboso, we're about to start the major sugya for today, and that is called miut. So if I have a whiteboard, I would write up right on the board the word miut. Mem, yud, ayin, vav, tet. Mi'ut, lima'et. Lima'et means to diminish. The kosel that's separated between these two chatzeros and generated a requirement of a separate eruv for each chatzer was 10 tefachim high. And now we're going to have a long sugya that's going to answer and address the following question. How could we make this kosel more accessible? In other words, we view it as a mechitza that separates, because to get from one side of the kosel, one chatzah to the other, is a climb, but is a way of being mamayit. Now, to be mamayit doesn't mean that we're going to shave off the top of the kosel, but rather we're going to make the top of the kosel more accessible by giving a stepladder, so to speak, that would make it easier to get to the top of the kosel. So let's say the stepladder is 4 tfachim high. Once you get on the ladder, you only have another 6 tfachim to get to the top of the kosel. Is Balamayit, if he wants to find, and the Gemara is going to investigate many different possibilities, he wants to find a method of lowering, so to speak, that height of the kosel, so that now it no longer serves as a machitza to generate a requirement of an eruv on each side of the kosel, each chatzer has to be ma'ariv with the other chatzer, then what we could do is we can set up a kind of a landfill, so to speak, a little bit of a tell. The English translation of tell would be a kind of a mound, and that mound, which is on the karka, it's next to the kosel. Or, for example, you might be able to build a platform, such they can stand on a platform. So the Gemara establishes that im yesh b'mi uto arba, in order for this platform or this mound of dirt to serve as a memayit, then we have to have, number one, the first halachic requirement is arba. Arba tfachim means it's got to be 4 tfachim in its width, so that it separates a significant amount of the kosel from the bottom part to the top part, and that's mutul ishtamish b'kol kosel kula. If he sets up a mound that has a width of arba tfachim, so it climbs, so to speak, up the kosel in its orech, in its length, four tfachim, then if the height of this chrit, of this tail, or of this itzibah, we're going to have a case of a platform, is 4 tfachim high, and now to climb up to the kosel means you have to go from the top of the 4 tfachim to the top of the 10 tfachim. There's another opportunity here to put a pile of logs that is going to, again, so to speak, raise the ground. And in all these cases, as long as the width is 4 tfachim, is mutal ishtamish b'chal kosel kula. In other words, those 4 tfachim are considered like a, so to speak, a pesach, like an opening in the middle of this kosel. And now it's no longer 10 tfachim to get to the top of the kosel, because it's very easy for him, it's benachas for him to use the top of the kosel. He just has to climb up to this pesach, meaning in this case the ground or the pile of trees or the platform that we mentioned before, the itzibah, which we'll talk about soon. And he's allowed to use the top of the kosel, and he can even bring his kalim from his chatzar onto the top of the kosel. And all this is because we have now a Pesach. Now, if we have a Pesach, then we have to also consider that the two chatzeros could make a joint eruv. The Gemara goes on to say, Lav, if let's say, despite the height of this mound or this pile of trees or the platform of 4 tfachim, but nevertheless it doesn't have 4 tfachim in its width, is Ein Mishtamish El Keneged Mi'uto. You're only allowed to have access to the kosel within that width, whatever that width might be. Let's say it's 3.5 tfachim. So for that width of 3.5 tfachim, he's allowed to climb up to the top of the kosel and move his peros, but only within that limited area. And the principle here in the Gemara is that if the miut is not 4 tfachim wide, it's not considered a pesach to be matir the entire kosel. It can only be matir that area. So the Gemara doesn't understand this. Mimon efshach. You're not being consistent. Iahani miuta. If this is a real bona fide miut, even though it's less than 4 tfachim in the width of the kosel, and the reason for that, and how do I prove that? Because it says mutal ishtamesh b'makom zeh, is then b'kulei kosel ishtamesh. Once you've already recognized it as a Pesach, it should be matir the entire kosel. The ilohani, and if you're telling me that a miut, if it doesn't have the width of 4 tfachim, is not a miut, it's not a Pesach, then afilu kineged a miut nami lo. Why should you be allowed to have access to the kosel in that part which is less than dalet al dalet. It's not considered tashmish or menachas, even at that point, and it's not mamayit. Amar Ravina, Ravina answers that when it says bolamato, it doesn't mean that he's coming lemayit bekarka samach lekosel. For sure, that would not be meaningful if it doesn't have four tefachim. What are we talking about? We're talking about kigon sha'akar chulio mirosho. The wall is made up of many different bricks, like the Western Wall, right? You have Evan Yerushalmis. And what he does is he climbs up towards the top of the kosel and he removes one of the bricks. And now he opens up a space, an airspace, which is called a chulio. And how wide is this airspace? How wide is the brick that he removed from the top of the kosel? If it's four tefachim, then it's as if the entire kosel on that type, going from one side to the other, is open. And therefore you are successfully memait, the kosel is no longer 10 tefachim high. But if on the other hand, it's less than four tefachim in its width, then that's not going to be a Pesach. But on the other hand, it is valid, it is meaningful to allow you to use that part of the kosel, because that part of the kosel is now noach lishtamish. It's open area. I mean, it's just pure space. He removed the top of the wall. Amar Rabbi Yechiel, Kafa, Seifel. So now we have something called a Seifel, which is kind of like a large receptacle, almost like a tub, and he turns it upside down, puts it on the ground, samach lekosel, right next to the kosel, and now this sefel is four tefachim wide, is memait. Now, the chiddush here of Rabbi Yechiel is that this is just a utensil that you turned over. It's not like a permanent platform or something that you built out of the dirt of the ground and made a mound out of it. It's only temporary. And this is called a Dovra Nital B'Shabbos. V'amai, Dovra Nital B'Shabbos, V'Dovra Nital B'Shabbos, Enom Emayit. Dovra Nital B'Shabbos means that there's no Iser Muktza. If you have a Kli and you turn it upside down, it's not Muktza. You're allowed to be metaltal. And if you're allowed to be metaltal, then it's not permanent. Right? It's not attached to the ground. And it really has no relationship to this kosel. I mean, maybe on a temporary basis, you can climb up this sefel in order to get access to the top of the kosel. But that's just for on a temporary basis. That's not going to be memai. The Gemara answers, Lo tzricha dechabrei bi'ara. It wasn't just that he took, in Rabbi Yechiel's case, a utensil, some sort of a tub that's for tefachim wide, and he turned it upside down and placed it there. But rather, he put afar all around it. He surrounded it in afar on the bottom in such a way that now it has a certain permanence to it. And not only that, if he would take away the sefel, he's going to inevitably move the afar one from one area to the other. And afar itself is muktzah. So now he's going to be metaltil muktzah. And therefore, it gives a permanent status to this sefel, at least as far as Shabbos is concerned. So the Gemara is not happy with this. V'fi chabri li'ara mai havi. Even though you're right that by picking up this sefel, you would inevitably move the afar in one way or the other, but that's not asur. V'atanya, we have a brisa that tumna, if he takes a fig when it's unripe, and what they used to do was, in order to give the fig a little bit time to ripen, they used to submerge it into hitmina b'tevin, in this case into straw. The straw for sure is mukta. And the question is, are you allowed to, on Shabbos, pull up this this fig because inevitably you're going to move the muktzah, you're going to move the tevet. Or the charara, you have this barbecued cookie that Hitmina B'Gecholim, before Shabbos started, he submerged it in the coals. And right now, if he removes the charar from the coals, he's going to move the coals in this direction, that direction. The coals are certainly muktzah. Imagula miktsasa, as long as part of the fig or the cookie is exposed, then he's allowed to grab that part that's exposed and remove it in such a way that he'll cause a tiltle of teven or gicholim. And the reason for that is that's not considered a direct moving of mukta. It's an indirect, what we call tiltum in atzad. In any event, we see clearly that when you have something that's inside the ground, you're allowed to pick it up as long as it's exposed from the ground at some point. Here too, in the case of the sefel, what are you telling me? That you tell me, tomna, that you chibra biara, that you submerge it in the ground, or you put ground all around it, but that's not going to make it into muks. It still becomes a dovra nito b'shabbos, and it's not permanent. Why should it be mamait? And we're answering Sochabai Askinon, the islay ognayim. It's a sefel that has a round rim that goes around the sefel, so that when he turns the sefel upside down, and there's afar, so there's afar not only below the rim, but also flowing, spilling on top of the rim. So now he has the afar that's really situated in such a way that he will violate what's called choresh. Okay, now we have to introduce another malach. Until now we were discussing a muktzah issue. Now he has a much more fundamental issue, and that is choresh, because what happens is, since this sefel has this outer lip to it, and not only is there afar below the lip, but also on top of the lip, then what happens is that, in effect, he's digging a hole in the afar. Right, because you imagine that the afar now is made up of these two layers, so to speak. There's that which is below the rim, which is called the ognayim, and that which is on top of the ognayim. And that's already a different problem. That's a problem of looking like harisha. It looks like he's making a hole in the ground when he lifts up the afar. So the Gemara asks, V'chi isle ognayim ayhavi. I'm going to prove to you from a Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Kelayim that even in the case of ognayim, it still is mutter on Shabbos, and it's not considered like choresh or chofer. So the Mishnah in Kelayim covers many, many different areas. We're just in the last of the list, but we'll go through the list. Hatomein lefes utznon tachas Hagefen. Normally, you're not allowed to plant fruits or vegetables in proximity to a vineyard, to a vine. But here, what he did was he was tomein. Tomein means he wasn't planting turnips or radishes, but rather he was just doing hatmana. And hatmana means he's not planting it, he's only giving it a temporary place in the ground, which will allow it to mature. In such a case, bizman, and here we turn to Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, bizman she miktas olav megulim, if some of the leaves of this vegetable are above the ground, eino choshesh, it's not considered like you planted it. Lo mishum kelayim. Number one, first and foremost, if you were to plant lefes or tznon, these are vegetables, in a vineyard, you would be violating the Isur Kelayim of Shnei Min Yisroim. This is not considered as if you were planting it. It's only l'shem shmira. You're only protecting it and allowing it to develop further. Lo mishum maser. Even though it may expand and grow while it's tamun, and you might think that anything that grows now is considered tevel or maser, but no, it's not, because again, it's primarily placed there on a temporary basis in order for the karka to protect it. And lo mishum shvius, it doesn't have kedusha shvius. But the most important part of the Mishnah, for our purposes, is the last part of Nitolim B'Shavis. You're allowed to hold on to these leaves that are above the ground and pull up the turnip or the radish from where it's tomun in the ground. And you and I would have said, well, it looks like he's digging a hole in the ground and he should be also Mishum Chofer or Choresh. But the answer is no. He's pulling it out, and whatever harisha, whatever hole is left, you know, a cavity that's left vacated of grain, that's me'eleh. That's already a natural consequence. It's not his action. So therefore, let's get back to Rabbi Yechiel, who says that you could be mamait in the case of a sefel. Even if we're going to explain that Rabbi Yechiel had in mind the case of ognov, which means that this sefel is submerged in the afar, but nevertheless, since the sefel itself is above ground, and you're just pulling it up from that part which is above ground, it's not considered as if he's digging a hole in the ground. So therefore, once again, it's something that he could take out even on Shabbos. And if it's a davar nitel b'Shabbos, then it's only a temporary kind of structure. It's not really something that's part of the kosel. And how could Rav Yechiel call it a mamayit? Lo tzricha dubai mara v'chatzina. Rav Yechiel is referring to an unusual case where the chibur, the connection between this sefel, this, you know, urn or whatever you want to call it, and the karka is a very tight one. He really did a great job in connecting it to the ground such that he needs to bring major machinery in order to remove it from the ground. It's not like, you know, just grab onto the handle and pull it up. It's really, in a solid kind of way, submerged in the ground. And Mara v'chatzina, Mara is called in Hebrew a ma'ader, some sort of a hoe. Chatzina is called a ma'atzed. It's like a saw that you really have to cut it out. And this would already entail a violation of the Issur Chofer, and therefore it's not a davar nitol b'Shabbos, therefore it's considered permanent, and it could serve as a mute. Now the Gemara wants to know what happens if he sets up a ladder, and he leans the ladder on the kosel. So now all he has to do is climb up the ladder in order to get to the top of the kosel. That makes the kosel nicha tashmishta. There's something that's, it's not like a mechitza of ten tfachim, which separates one chatzah from the other. So the Gemara differentiates between two categories of ladders. So we're going to learn Torah's sulamos. You know, one of the Balei Kabbalah is called the Bala Sulam. Okay, this is Yaakov's ladder, right? So the Sulam HaMitzri, that's a very kind of a flimsy ladder. It's very small, you know, the rungs, maybe there's only three rungs. Anyway, Eino Emayit, that's too small to be my Vatsuri, but that came from the north, from Tsur, from up in Lebanon. That's Memayit. That's already a larger and a more heavy-duty kind of a ladder. Heichi domi sulam mitzri. What is the sulam mitzri? That's not Memayit. Ami dvei Rav Yane kol she'ein lo arba chavokim. It doesn't have four rungs. It only has three rungs. That's not a real ladder. Amalei Rav Acha brei d'Rav Rav Ashi mai taima du sulam mitzri lo Memayit. Why is it that a sulam mitzri is not memayit? And that was the question that Rav Acha asked Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says to him, "Amalei lo shmilcha. Did you not hear Hadi Amar Rav Acha bar Adam or Rav Hamnun Amar Rav? Bishum da'avalei dovra nitol b'shabes called dovra nitol b'shabes ain't a memayit." In other words, there's no isatiltul in such a sulam mitzri, which is not a serious kind of a sulam. And therefore, you can take it away on Shabbos itself. If it's removable on Shabbos, it's certainly not permanent. Ihochi afilu tsuri nami. What about the case of a sulam tsuri? And a sulam tsuri has arba chavokim. Okay, so it has arba chavokim, but it's also very temporary and you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, just because it has an extra rung, so you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos? You're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Therefore, it should not be mamayid. It's not permanent. It's temporary. The difference is that the ladders that came from Tzur were very heavy ladders. They were made out of a more sturdy, heavy material. And it might not be muktzah, but generally speaking, you don't move it around. You know, that's a kind of a ladder that for periods of weeks to come, you will leave it stationary in its place. And that's called kavua bimkomo. It's kavua there in its place. And the reason for this is because it is a kvius that's generated by its heavy weight. And the Ritva writes here that there are two opinions as to whether or not, in the case of the Sulam HaTzuri, whether or not it fits the category of a Dovra Nitol B'Shabbos or not. And he adds another point here, that it has to be, in laws of Mux, it has to be what's called a Klishan Lachta Leheter. If it's a Klishan Lachta Leisur, which you can only move Letzarek Gufo, Letzarek Makomo, that might be a Dovra Sheino Nitol B'Shabbos. Other Rishonim say, no, it's Nitol B'Shabbos, because if it was Letzarek Gufo, Letzarek Makomo, you'd be allowed to move it. But the bottom line is that the Gemara is now interpreting the Sulam HaTzuri. It's not a mukta issue, and the Iser here is not mukta. It's an issue of kvius, and kvius depends upon COVID, on its weight. Again, I hate to use that word COVID, but so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Archaim Siman Shunayim Beis that the difference between Sulam HaMitzri and Sulam HaTzuri is such that this is weight much heavier, this one is not so heavy. And therefore, even a Sulam HaMitzri, if it doesn't have arba shlivos, it doesn't have four rungs, then as a general rule, we assume it's lightweight, and therefore it's temporary. But if you had a Sulam HaMitzri that was very heavy, and it only had three rungs to it, nevertheless, it would still be mamait because of kovdo kovo. Omer Abai, Kosel Shemen Shtei Chatzis Gavo Asor Tvok V'Niach Sulam Rochav Arba Mikan V'Sulav Rochav Arba Mikan. He wants to know what happens if you have a ladder on one side of the wall and that serves the Chatzar on that side. You have another ladder on the other side. Is that enough of a Chibur between the two chatzeros, because I can climb up from one side and then climb down from the other side? And Abai says it depends. He says, if Ein Bazeh, Ein Bein Zeh Lezeh Shel Shetfachim, if the two ladders on the two sides of the Kosel are within a proximity of 3 Tfachim, less than 3 Tfachim, let's say 2.9 Tfachim, so then we apply the principle of Lavud, and we consider as if that space is closed in. Umemait, and therefore it could be Memait, because now these two Sulamos sort of link together and they become a Pesach between the two Chatzeros, which allows the two Chatzeros to set up one joint Erev if they so choose. I mean, if they don't choose, they have no interest in climbing the ladder and bringing something from one Chatz to the other. Each Chatz can make its own separate Erev. But Shlosha ain't a Memait. If the distance between the Sulam on one side of the coast and the Sulam on the other side of the coast is more than 3 Tfachim or 3 Tfachim, then that's not considered a Pesach. Each Sulam is Liatzmo, and there's no Pesach in the Chatz. In other words, you haven't created like a window that would connect the two Chatzeros. V'lo amoron el delo havi kosel arba. Avol havi kosel arba afilu muflag tuva nami. And here with the Gemara's mekil, and it's going to allow for an erev of the two chatzeros in a case of a kosel arba tfachim. And in this case, We don't care about the fact that the two sulamos on the two sides of the kosel are separated by each other on two sides, you know, two ends of the kosel. And why is that? The answer is because if this kosel has the width of 4 tefachim, then it's not scary to climb on top of the kosel. So even though my sulam is here, when I climb up to the top of the kosel, I won't see your sulam, at least not directly. It's on the other side, right? It's far away. It's more than 4 tefachim. But nevertheless, I can walk on top of the kosel and then go down towards your chatzer by using the wall, the ladder that you set up on your side of the chatzer. So that's called halicha lehanocha. Walking on the kosel is comfortable, and therefore it's as if the two ladders were contiguous one to the other. It's a Pesach, and now the two chatzers can make a joint eruv. Omar Rav Bevi Bar Abaye Bona Itzdaba. Now we talk about platforms. Now there are many different type of platforms, but we're going to talk about a platform that has legs. So it's basically, you know, like almost like a tray that's attached to the kosel and stands on the ground. So Bana Itzdaba, he builds this kind of a wooden platform. Al Gav Itzdaba. Now Rav Bevi addresses a more sophisticated case. If the Itzdaba is on the ground and it climbs up 4 tefachim, then for sure it's memait, as we discussed earlier. Here he has a case of one platform, right, and on top of it another platform, another Itzdaba. So what's the deal in this case? Im yesh be Itzba tachtonar ba is memait. In other words, if the bottom Itzdaba has 4 tefachim in width, you remember we stipulated and restricted a mamait that has to have at least a width of 4 tefachim. So the bottom one is already 4 tefachim wide and it's 4 tefachim high, so forget about the top Itzdaba. I don't even need the top Itzdaba, just ignore it. There's a miut here that's generated by the bottom Itzdaba. Inami, ein be betachtona arba. Oh, now we get to a more complicated case. The bottom platform is not 4 tefachim wide, but yesh be'elyona arba. But the top platform has 4 tefachim wide. The problem with the top platform is that it's sort of like hanging in midair. It's like standing on the shoulders of the bottom platform. So the Gemara says, if ein bein zeh lo zeh shlosha tefachim emait. Rav Bevi says that if the airspace between the top platform and the one right below it, the bottom one, the tachton, is less than 3 tefachim, then we can knock off that airspace through the din of lavud, as if to say it's all one itzdaba. We combine them together. And the chiddush here is that by being mitzarif the tachtona with the elyona, we can add A plus B and generate a mamait, a miut of, we'll call it C, right? What's A and what's B? The tachtona is firmly attached to the ground. And that's what we need in order to be mamait. Number two, even though the tachtona is not 4 tefachim wide, but the elyona is 4 tefachim wide. But on the other hand, the elyona is not feet on the ground. So it's totally biavir. It cannot be a mamait. But if there's a lavud situation where the distance, the airspace between the top itzdaba and the bottom itzdaba is less than 3 tefachim, then we can integrate the two and make them into one itzdaba. And now we have both conditions fulfilled. It's both a platform that's rooted on the ground, and it has the width of 4 tefachim, and it's memait. Fi Omar, Rav Nachman, Omar Rava Bar Avua, Sulam Shashlivosov Parchos. Okay, now we're talking about almost the staircase. Yeah, I mean, technically it's called a sulam because it's used as a ladder to climb to a high space. But what it means is that there are many, many rungs, But the rungs are parchos. That means they're kind of in a, instead of a 90 degree angle, you know, like each rung is, you know, if you would draw a line, it would be one on top. It's a rung that bends down. So you have, you know, if you watch my hands for a second, you'll have the bottom rung looks like this, the next rung looks like this, the one this like this. It's like a step ladder almost. And now this airspace between each one of these rungs is Yesh Bashliva Hatachtona Arba. If the bottom rung has the width of 4 tefachim, memait, it reduces the height of the kosel from 10 tefachim down. Because it has the width of 4 tefachim. Inami, I'll give you another possibility where even if the tachtona does not have the width of 4 tefachim, it could still serve as a miut. And that's a case of Ein b'shliva tachtona arba v'yesh b'shliva elyon arba. But the upper rung has 4 tefachim in width. Ah. But the upper rung is toli ba'avir. It's flying in the airspace. It's not on the ground. So we're going to have to somehow integrate these rungs together. And that's what he adds here. V'yein pein zeh lazeh shlosha tefachim. There's no airspace between rung bottom and rung on top of it of 3 tefachim. So if it's 2.9 tefachim, then we can apply the principle of lavud, and now we can integrate the two shlivos, whether it be the elyona, which gives you the width of 4 tefachim, necessary for bimamai, or the tachtona, which is rooted on the ground, and together we integrate them, and we have a mamai. V'yomer av nachben omer abba baravua. Here we turn to daf ayin chesam and aleph. Ziz. Now we get to a case of a ziz. All right, a ziz is a little bit more complicated. I suggest that we'll start ziz tomorrow on the top of ayin ches omer.